Now, we've been studying our shape, and I think I got a PowerPoint there, Esther, that I already put up. But we've moved on to the first S of shape, spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and then the last E, your experiences. So we're on the second part of spiritual gifts. And the purpose of discovering our shape and our ministry is just to do that. Who are we? And then how can we use that in ministry? And we want to minister in just not the church, right? We want to minister outside of us, the church, in a chow, C-H-O-W, your church, your home, O, occupation, and W, the world, okay? Some of us have world concepts, some of us don't. Hopefully we can grab a hold of that. Why do we need to discover our shape in that? One, it brings glory to God. Two, it's how we best invest, okay? Best invest who we are into God's kingdom. And some of us are investing in the world, but we're not investing into God's kingdom. We need to ask the Lord, where are we at with that? Now, last week we talked about spiritual gifts, and basically in Greek, spiritual gifts comes from that root word, charis, or grace. So these are gifts of grace given to us. And when a gift is given, you cannot control the gift, okay? You can ask for it, but you can't necessarily control what you're going to get. And so God distributes the gifts in different ways to different people as He sees fit. Purpose of the gifts? I'll share about this later. Purpose of the gift, to build up the church, to serve. So as God gives you a different shape to each different one of you, and then your spiritual gifts, to build up the church, the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are not. Okay, Esther, go ahead and scan down through there. Keep looking for spiritual gifts or not. Doing good. Keep going. Keep going. Okay, good job. They're not spiritual fruit. They're not human talents. They're not spiritual disciplines like we have there. Prayer or witnessing or tithing. They're not ministry positions necessarily. Some of them overlap in that way. And they're not an irresistible power. It's not like you're just going to be speaking in tongues and not be able to control it necessarily. You can choose to shut it off or turn it on. What is it? A divine supernatural ability given by God to enable Christians to serve others and to build up His church. It's like a tool that we use for God. Now, in the church today, especially in America and probably around the world, we have some areas of caution, areas that just when it comes to the Holy Spirit, when it comes to spiritual gifts, we have two sides that churches fall on. It's hard to get people in the middle, so we need to address that. Okay. Number one and two sort of go together. We have very much of a tradition that begins to set in, and a little bit of ignorance, a misunderstanding of what's going on. And that's probably because of 3 and 4. But just to start with 1 and 2, tradition. We've always done it this way, so we will continue to do it that way. Never saw a spiritual gift in my church, means probably doesn't exist. So it's really hard to think outside of the box. Now, with this tradition, usually this area is called conservative or reform. And when we say conservative, basically what its meaning is called biblical, that they stand on a biblical foundation. But with it comes a lot of, I just don't understand the Holy Spirit. I didn't really ever hear my church talk about it. This is a little bit of where I grew up. In my church in Bascom, Ohio, I never even heard a pastor speak on the Holy Spirit. I didn't even really know that the Holy Spirit existed in the Bible except for the Lord's Prayer And then when we always ended in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, or they said Holy Ghost. So then when I was young, I'm like, Holy Ghost, whoa, what is that? You know, we grew up with Casper, the friendly ghost, when I was young. So trying for me as a young person, trying to understand, I didn't really understand a lot. And so I got to seminary and they had us reading the Bible, praise God. So some seminaries don't do that as much. And I'm reading the Bible and I'm just seeing Holy Spirit, Spirit, all the time. So I begin to become, questioning, what is this? So I begin my own personal study and hunt. What is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, gives us different gifts. The Holy Spirit comes along to encourage us. The one who is alongside us. The same Spirit that was given to Jesus is given to us. These different things were coming up. And so I was really asking, Lord, help me to understand this part of the Trinity, this part of you, God, the Spirit. And I finally progressed to the point where it started talking in 1 Corinthians about spiritual gifts. And I was like, well, Lord, if this is really from you and for the church, then I would like to have a spiritual gift. And I was like, oh, man, if the Lord puts a spiritual gift in me, especially a cool one, that is going to be neat. And, I have a little bit of power. But the Holy Spirit or God came and said to me, why do you want that gift? And I really got convicted. Because it was true. It was about me. It was about myself looking cool or having power. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. My misunderstanding and my love for myself has sort of messed up the gift which you want to give me for your church and for others. We move on down, and 3 and 4, subjectivism, this sense of getting a good feeling. And this switches over to the other side of charismatic or Pentecostal. They start to say, it's someone who's looking for the next high. Come to church and really not looking into biblical truths and foundation. They can start to get away from that, and people are just looking for the next mountain high experience, an emotional high. A lot of times what happens is when we get into spiritual gifts, it's kind of like a shiny piece of candy. And people really like the shiny thrill of things. And when you have a piece of candy and it's in a wrapper, what do? If you want to eat the candy, you unwrap it. And then you eat the wrapper. No, you don't eat the wrapper. Because you want the real meat. The wrapper, a lot of times, is a little bit like spiritual gifts. You have the giver and you have the gift. Which one do you want more? Which one is more important? You first have to understand and really chew on and get to know and have a deep relationship with the giver, the meat of it. And then these spiritual gifts come. But we're not looking for the thrill of things. I remember also when I was in construction there, I happened to begin to work with a guy who was Pentecostal. And this guy was big. He played for Kentucky University as a lineman. He was about 275, big guy. His name was Kit Walters. Really great guy. I loved him. One time, we had these two staple guns, and one, you pushed on the staple. Have you seen a staple gun? Okay. You push on that, and it comes out the front. Well, we had a staple gun where you pushed on it, it came out the back. Well, I switched to straight staple guns, and I'm holding it. Went right in my pinky. And I'm like, trying to pull it out. I can't get it out. Big old pin. Comes over, he's like, okay, pulls it out. Must have been in the bone, So Kit Walters. But I remember with Kit, a little bit of this subjectivism came out. He would always say, and is it okay? Did you feel that? Did you feel that tingling in the back of your neck? Yeah, did you feel that? Was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit. And I was like, I didn't feel anything. I must have missed it or something. So a sense of feeling. But at the same time, I'm not going to totally say that you won't have some type of experience with the Holy Spirit. One time in Taiwan, I was in a conference, and they said, anybody want to come up, be touched by the Holy Spirit? I went up front. Somehow, total relaxation and peace came over me. A total, just seemed like a filling of something other than myself. And some reason in my head, I began to have visions of just this Father that was holding me, and me as His child. And He was delighting over me, just as His child. Another area that are touchy areas is this whole misuse. If you've been in the church long enough and you've heard stories, you know that from the charismatic area, there have been different misuses. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 are written for this very problem. They were misusing their gifts, and Paul wanted to straighten things out. Yeah, spiritual gifts are good, but this is how they need to be used, to build up the church and to interact with one another. You know, a lot of times there's this misuse where people will come, and I remember being in Taiwan and a lady coming in and, hey, do you guys speak in tongues? And I'm like, well, some of us do, some of us don't. She's like, probably not filled with the Spirit, probably not Christian. A lot of times we get that, right? You're probably not a Christian if you don't have this spiritual gift. A misuse, I think. We also can go on the other side where I've seen people misuse, and a guy came to my church in Taiwan, and he was like, you guys use the King James Version of the Bible, right? Right? I'm like, no, I don't really understand it. Thee, thou, thou art, thou. And I didn't say that to him, but that's what I was thinking. And he's like, well, I mean, that's God's Bible. That's the one he used. And so, you have these two areas that of this conservative, biblical founded, but without a really seeking the Spirit, a touch of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, and those who are just into spiritual gifts, subjectivism, they call it liberal churches, and sometimes liberal for other reasons. Somehow, we need to be in the middle. Somehow, we need to be in the middle. Studying the Word of God, biblically founded, but also saying, we need Jesus, and we need His Spirit, because we can't do it by ourselves. And so we get this, I believe, in Acts. This is what Jesus is talking about. Acts 2, 42, 44. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. One thing I just love about Acts is when Peter said, silver or gold, I don't have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Things are happening. It wasn't by their power, it was God's power. Now, we talk about spiritual gifts. How do I discover my spiritual gift? And probably one way is to come to Pastor Kurt's series on shape. Okay? So, thanks for coming. But probably a better way is to study the Word of God. And I talked about this over in our Sunday school. Easy to remember where spiritual gifts are listed if you want to study. It's a 12-12-4-4 plan. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4. We'll have some information there. You can read about it. Okay? We can also ask God to give us a gift. Say, whoa, wait a minute. Can we do that? 1 Corinthians 14:1, first verse there after the love chapter starts out. Follow the ways of love, Peter says, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. Say that I want them. I need them. And so we can ask for them. My kids ask for gifts from me all the time. Dad, I want a DS. Okay? Maymay, I want a Barbie. Okay? And then I start to think about it. Yeah, maybe I could get these things for my kids if they're healthy and a blessing. Three, check your motives for desiring a spiritual gift. Okay? my motives when I first thought about it, discovered it in the Word of God, weren't real good. What are your motives for more of Jesus, more of the Holy Spirit? Next, if you want to discover your spiritual gifts, ask someone. Ask someone that knows you well, a mature Christian. What spiritual gifts do you think I have? Confirm it. I think I got the gift of healing. Have you healed anyone? No. Have you ever healed anyone? No. Well, I haven't seen you heal anyone either. So I'm thinking maybe right now, no. But that doesn't mean you should stop praying for people to be healed. Check it with other people. Take a spiritual gift test. Now, some of us in here, how many of you have taken a spiritual gift test? Okay? It's more of a item that will help you discover, but it's not a guarantee you have that spiritual gift. I think it's just more of a help. If you've never taken one, there's some online that you can find and take. Some have more questions, some one have less. But still, checking it with others is probably the best way to go. Try it or experiment. I wish it was a little bit more easy than this, but it's a fact. You got to go with the Nike motto. Just do it. How do you know if you have a gift of healing someone unless you pray for someone to be healed? You just got to do it. Leadership, unless you lead. Encouraging and people being built up in that way, unless you encourage. Sometimes you just got to go for it and do it by faith. Last two, evaluate the results and identify the need you see in the church and serve there. These are some different ways that will help you discover your spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are a bit like a muscle, and you have to do it. You have to exercise it to be using it and having it come forth. Just quick three ways God wants you to use your spiritual gifts. Ways to experiment. Ongoing ministry. Have you thought about being in an ongoing ministry? One where you're doing it week after week. And then saying, God, how do you want to use me in this? I want to practice it in that. Sometimes it's a short-term project. Sometimes it's spontaneous. I believe God has given me a spiritual gift, and so sometimes I don't do it on ongoing or a short term, but I do it spontaneous. And God, I believe, honors that and uses it. Now, important cautions. I think we're going to study this over in our Sunday school today. But I want to go through this real quick. Some cautions when it comes to spiritual gifts. One, a gift envy. That means comparing. Looking at others and being resentful or jealous of a gift they may have that you don't have. When my mom and dad were here, they left. We all went to see Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Have you guys seen that one? It's a pretty good one, actually. It's probably one of the best ones. I didn't know that there'd be so many biblical, good, moral values to teach. And you guys remember the one about Lucy? And Lucy has this infatuation with the beauty of her sister Susan, and she keeps looking at herself. And Lucy, she's a pretty beautiful girl, but still, she looks at her sister Susan and compares and says, I want to be like her. Well, it was one way in which the story was depicting her possible downfall. But she broke out of that when Aslan, the God, Jesus, came and said, hey, I created you this way. Receive it and be who God has created you to be. This is a gift envy. Don't always try to be looking at the other person. Look at how God has created you and use it for His glory. I love what the Shape book says. It says, only you can be you, and when you're not, the church suffers. Only you can be you. And when you're not, the church suffers. The second one is gift projection. I would have to say sometimes I do this. I feel like the Lord's given me the gift of encouragement. And so you guys know I talk to you a lot about encouragement, right? So I'm kind of expecting you and projecting it upon you. Encourage people. People need encouragement. There may be a few in here, if I ask the question and say, do you need encouragement? And a few of you would say, nope. But most of the rest of us would say, yeah, right here. But I tend to do that, project it onto others, and I need to be careful of doing that. The third, superior versus inferior. We do this in the church a lot. It seems like we go back to the kindergarten days of King of the Mountain. Look at me. I'm number one. I'm on top of the mountain because of what I do in the church or the spiritual gift that I have. But God is saying, you know, having or not having a spiritual gift does not make you superior or inferior. Having a certain spiritual gift, a certain talent or ability, if we look at this whole shape area, does not make you special or above someone else. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 12:21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We all need one another. Four, when we look at the spiritual gift in 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14, in the middle is that wedding marriage chapter, right? The love chapter. But that whole chapter about love was not created just for marriages, even though it works well. This is about unity and interdependence. But that whole chapter was committed to the church of Corinth to say, when you use your spiritual gift and when you use your shape, you need to have love above it all. He's saying this, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And sometimes when people in the church are talking to you, it's what we're hearing, right? Gong. Gong. You're like, whoa. No love there. I'm not hearing it. We need to have love as the most important. Last of all, I'd like to mention this. You have a primary and secondary ministry in the church. Your primary ministry is going to be the one where God has gifted you in. In Acts chapter 6, when the apostles are talking, there comes up a crisis where widows need provision. And everybody's looking to the apostles to provide this provision. And their statement is, it's not right to neglect the ministry of the Word to wait on tables. Now, you know, half of us, we're thinking, man, it's pretty arrogant. Who are they? They're not going to serve? But then another half of us is saying, yeah, you know what? If that's what God's called them to, they really need to get out there and do it. And so, they're saying we can't wait on tables. We need to devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, but there is a secondary ministry where, hey, if you're not busy, you need to kick in. You know, Pastor Kurt just doesn't go around speaking all day. You know, just 24/7 walking around. And did you hear the Word of God in Philippians where it says, you know, I go around and I pick up people's Kleenexes that are full of I don't know what and throw them away. I take up communion cups. I close windows. I help people around. At the same time, actually that's more the way I'm wired. I need to remember I got a primary ministry, and if I'm not doing it and someone else is not doing it, we got a problem. So this is why you need to figure out what has God called you to. And how can you get focused so you're really building people up in that area? And when you're not busy, you need to have an attitude of service. That will help you in every way. Some of you don't have an attitude of service. Not sure why, but you don't. And when Jesus comes into your heart and He transforms it, His main focus is to tell you it's all about you. No. His main focus is to tell you, hey, it's not about you. It's about the person around you. You know, the other week, you know, Pastor Kurt, he comes in with all these utensils to use during his sermon. I only brought one today. And I'm trying to get all these things in my bag. And I don't know if any of you know Wong Pu. Wong Pu, I asked him to do photos once with Joseph. They helped me out a lot. That's why your photo's up over there. He said, hey, Pastor Kurt, you need some help. He helped me get, I said, you know what? Yeah. Can you take all these toys back to the toy room? You know that brain? It's a big help. An attitude of service. Time is escaping again, so we're going to go, cheat. This is good stuff. Cheat. Oh, we missed those. Cheat. 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 You gotta keep going. Keep pushing it. Cheat. Okay, yeah. Spiritual facts, but we're gonna skip that for now. Cheat. Okay, one more. One more. There we go. All of these. These are the spiritual gifts that are listed in Scripture. Right there you see the 12, 12, 4. Oh, I missed the other 4. Okay, yeah, 1 Peter's not there. I got 3, 12. Prophecy, teaching, serving, exhortation or exhorting, giving. Giving aid they have there. Compassion. Next, in 1 Corinthians 12, prophecy, healing, working miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, discernment. Okay? All those are listed down here. Apostleship is named. Helps is named. Administration is named, which is interesting. Evangelism is named down here. And shepherding. These are all of the different spiritual gifts. Now, some that they add to it, and they call hospitality in 1 Peter 4, 1, craftsmanship, back in the Old Testament Exodus when they're building the ark and the sanctuary. Intercession is one in 1 Timothy 2. Worship, creative communication, some people call it, but worship. And casting out evil spirits, Mark 6. Now, these extra ones I just named are not connected with a spiritual gift list. And some of them could be a talent. So we're not real sure. But if you have it, you can still use it. I believe God wants us to address this issue. When we look at these lists of spiritual gifts, which ones are legitimate? And I would say, typically, in the church, there's certain ones that we accept, and there's certain ones we don't. They're unacceptable. I mean, teaching, acceptable, right? It's a pretty safe one. Okay? So we get different ones, and, you know, teaching's okay, but prophecy, whoa. Wait a minute. Is that legitimate? Is that okay? Is that acceptable? And I think there's reasons that we do this. One is, how much can it be controlled? Miracles. Oh, that's a little bit outside of my control. How much do we understand it decides whether it's legitimate or acceptable? How much we can control it and of our own human power makes it legitimate or acceptable. And so when we look at it, really when I ask that, how many of these are legitimate, there's probably only one that can come into question, but I would say all of them are legitimate. The only one that could come into question is possibly apostleship and how it's defined because of the 12 original apostles. But then we get Paul becomes an apostle. Some of them are called Barnabas, Timothy, possible apostles. But if it's from God and God wants us to use it, we have to trust Him. And then we have to have built-in accountability with other believers. Trust is a big issue when it comes to spiritual gifts, I believe. The other day, we had my mom's van, my van, and our car parked in the driveway, and my wife was trying to get the car out. And I said, "Honey, she's in the car. I'm in front of the car." I said, "Just watch me, and I'll take you right out. Turn this way, turn that way, right? Because I can see the van, I can see the house, I can see everything." You know what she did? She kept looking. I said, "No, look at me." "Oh, okay. So, why?" She was scared. And she wasn't trusting me. How many of you have seen a rear view mirror on a plane? Airplane. Big jumbo jet. "Hey, open the back window so I can see out." Or rear view mirror. You ever see those on those jumbo jets? These are cool. Stretch out about 10 feet and they got a mirror there. No, they got the guy with the, I don't know, the lights. I don't know what they do. I've never been one. I guess that tells them left, right, backing up, coming forward. Trust is a big issue with this. I'm not going to say I totally understand everything about the Holy Spirit. God? I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. If I was God and I understood everything, you guys would probably be worshiping me. And I was, "You're not going to do that. I don't want you to." What I'm saying is trusting God that He can use these for the kingdom of God is what we need to be doing. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, the Bible gives a lot of guidance and direction. We're going to name those real quick, and I'm going to do those in 2 minutes. Go back up. Can you hit the up button, Esther? Oh, yeah, two more. Okay, yeah, that's the first one. Okay. Yeah, God gives us spiritual gifts, Ephesians 4. 1 Peter 4 tells us for ministry and building up the church. Fact. Next one. Only Christians have spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 6. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Number 3. Every Christian has at least one gift. Now to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And this is in relation. You read 1 Corinthians 12, 7, the spiritual gifts. No one receives all the gifts. No single gift is given to everyone. That means everyone does not have the gift of encouragement, or everyone does not have the gift of tongues, though many of us could. This is what it says. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? You all interpret 1 Corinthians 12, 29 through 30. That's what the Word of God says. The Holy Spirit decides what gifts we get. Okay? Number two. We cannot earn or work for a spiritual gift. And number three, not bound by human demand or manipulation. In Acts 8, we have this really cool guy, Simon Cyrene. Guy actually does magic, it says in Acts 8. But he becomes a believer. And then come the apostles, and they lay hands on people. These people get the Holy Spirit. They are filled with the Spirit. And Simon Cyrene, what does he want? He's like, "I want that power. How much can I buy that for?" When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Can't be manipulated. We use spiritual gifts for God. We don't waste them. Believers will have an account to the Lord for how they use their spiritual gifts. There in Matthew 25, it talks about God giving us different talents and not to be burying those or wasting them, but using them for God. Last two, function from inner motive of love, 1 Corinthians 13, do everything in love. And last of all, to bring unity and interdependence, which I didn't get today, but I've spoken about before. Us as the church, we are to be not dependent totally upon one another. We are not to be totally independent. We are to be interdependent, working with one another, using our gifts, using our shape to build up the church. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that today we can study about spiritual gifts. God, we just don't want to know about it or study it. God, we want for Your Spirit to really fall upon us. God, we want more of You. I pray that for us, that would be our prayer. God, that we want more of You, Jesus. More of You, God. More of You, Holy Spirit. And God, if You want to gift us with a gift, help us to say thank You. And then God, help us not to bury it, but help us to use it. God, to build up the church, to help one another, to make people all they can be for Jesus. We pray this, and we trust in You, Jesus. We trust in You. Help us to keep our eyes focused on You. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.